My pleasure to introduce our Canadian speaker, Mr. McLeod. So today was my first day on the mountain. Did anybody else go up today? It was awesome. Oh my gosh. I came down chair two for my first run, which is a tradition, and I looked over and it looked like the chair to the side, chair 10, had just started running, and I thought, I better go check and make sure chair 10's not better than that, because that was pretty good, but you just don't know until you check it out. And so I went on 10, and we got to the top, or the whole way up, no one had done it yet, and got to the top, and people were just starting to fly down, all excited. 10 was amazing. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. It took me a little while to get my first day in, but I'm glad I did, and it was a good one. So we're going to talk about a couple things tonight, but I just wanted to, even though we've already, a whole bunch of times, just pray together. And if you guys are up for this challenge, in your own heart, in your own way, just tell God that you are hungry, or that you're open, or that your heart is soft, and you want to receive from Him tonight. I'm sure we already have been doing that, but let's just do it officially together. Would that be okay for a second? So, Lord, we just open up our hearts and our minds, and we open them up and we lay them down. I know that you have things you want to say to people. You have encouraging things. You have challenges. And you have so much love. And I just pray that you'd help each of us to receive what you have today, whether it's through things I say or just you speaking to our hearts, showing us things, putting ideas into our minds. You're so good. So, so good. So we just receive. We're open. Amen. So I grew up in Vancouver, and there's three ski mountains in the city of Vancouver, like inside the city limits, which is pretty fun. And the best one is called Cypress Mountain. If you happen to be in Vancouver and you have to choose only one, I would say Cypress is your best choice. And when I was maybe 6 or 7, my dad got this idea that we should all learn how to ski as a family. And so we went to the library and got videos that there's no YouTube or internet in 1987 or whatever. And so we got videos, and it showed you how to do a snow plow and how to turn. And back then, turning was different than today on skis. And so you did a lot of like swiveling of your hips and stuff, and it was awesome. And so we got a ski pass for the mountain called Cypress, where the Olympics were a couple years ago. And we would go up every time we could convince my parents to drive us. It wasn't a small town like here where the buses are free and you're on the hill in 5 minutes. It was like a 40-minute to an hour drive each way. And so whatever we could do to convince my dad, we would do it. Just, it doesn't matter. It's raining. It'll be fast. It'll be soft. It'll be great. It's snowing. It's going to be the best day ever. It's sunny. We'll get a suntan. Just anything and everything. We were on it. And most of the time, because he loves skiing, it worked. And we had so many adventures. I have a brother who is 4 or 5 years younger, right in the 4.5 region. And then my sister's about 3 years younger. So just the kind of the whole crew of us. And then we drag my mom up every now and then. She's a little more kind of fair weather type skier. But it was the most fun. And one of my favorite memories growing up, the first almost waist-deep powder day I ever experienced was... The city of Vancouver doesn't get massive snowstorms very often. So every 5 years, you get a real good one. And every 10, city shuts down for a month. There's not enough plow gear, all that stuff. So the mountain that we grew up on, Cypress, you have to drive all the way up to the base. But there's a mountain in the middle where you don't drive. There's this crazy gondola. It takes like 100 people per car. And so you drive just to the very bottom of of the mountain, and you can ride the gondola to the top. And so every now and then when Vancouver would get a super big storm, like a 3-4 foot storm, we would put chains on and see if we could make the 40-minute drive, which became probably an hour or two, to the base of Grouse Mountain. because you could take this gondola right to the top. You didn't have to do the super treacherous ski mountain road. And one day, we pulled it off. It's me and my dad. We got up there, and it was incredible. Kind of like almost champagne powder, and you fall, doesn't matter. Everybody's happy. But most people couldn't get to the mountain because the roads are shut down and terrible. It was so much fun. And I just have so many great memories in different ways with my mom and with my dad and with just their heart for me and for my brother and my sister. And I know not everybody has the same experience. Families are broken in different things, and our family's not perfect, but just my dad's heart for us is really wild, just to stop and think back to the impact that he's had. And so if you guys have your Bibles, Matthew 7, verse 7, we're going to take a look at a couple things Jesus said, and I believe is saying to us tonight. And we're going to hop around a little bit. There's a couple other spots, but we'll start in Matthew 7, 7. And let me know when you're there by singing your favorite song. Or not. We got one. So a little bit of background on what we're going to read. Jesus goes up on a mountainside and has a conversation with a lot of folks on a hill and tells them a series of very incredible things, including the Beatitudes, which are really famous in Matthew 5, and Matthew 6 is just filled with incredible teaching on a whole variety of topics. And we covered a bit of that earlier this year. Occasionally we have CDs at the back if you guys want to grab them and have a listen and get caught up on things that you've missed. But we're going to hop into Matthew 7, and it's kind of a collection of Jesus speaking on different topics. And I love this section because I believe it leads to a lot of really amazing things in our lives if we can live this out. So Matthew 7, 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So I'm sharing the story about my dad and my mom and loving to take us skiing and just really do things that we loved as kids. And then we hop over to Matthew 7, and Jesus is using the same metaphor to challenge us. Hey, talk to me. Ask me. Share with me what's on your heart. I would love to know what's on your heart so that I can be a part of you seeing it come to life. And I love Dave Porter's prayer request a little bit ago for the youth. You know, pray for us for vision. Oh, no, no, wait. Actually, strategy. That's amazing. They're both important, but he's got tons of vision. He's good to go in the vision department. But how do you bring it to reality? And so what Jesus is talking about in here is there's a theme, and I'd like to sum it up with the word pursuit. There's something about us pursuing God that's really, really interesting. It's through the Bible in a lot of different ways. It's almost like if we display that we're interested in who he is and that we want relationship, he responds. A lot of great stories, a lot of great examples in Scripture. I love Song of Solomon for this. It's an illustration of lovers and a relationship that's growing and some really intense, incredible things. But why would that be in the Bible? I think there's a lot of good reasons, but I think one is just the pursuing of relationship that you see when people are in love. Such a good illustration. Such a good way to communicate to us what he's like. God's passion for us is wild. His passion for us is good. It's wild. It's crazy. It's sometimes a little bit outside of what we expect. Have you guys ever experienced something that you're like, well, that can't be God, because I've never heard that story before. No one else has ever told me that's possible. And then you realize, yeah, actually it is God. He actually loves you that much that he's willing to surprise you or to do something that's outside of your expectation of the relationship that you have with him. Super fun. If you haven't had that experience, Matthew 7 tells us we should ask God. So, the things that we're passionate about, let's go after him. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is hearing God's voice. I love when God speaks. He doesn't speak to me all the time. I wish that he would. I ask him a lot of questions. We have a ministry school here at the church, and it's just a lot of fun. We hang out with a bunch of folks from all over the world, Monday to Thursday, and just pursue God and pursue growing in his presence and in spiritual gifts and in love and outreach and a lot of things. But my favorite topic is hearing God's voice. And what does that look like? And what does it sound like? And how do we know if it's God? And, well, maybe it's just me. Well, you know, and there's all these things that come up. And so what we do in the ministry school is we practice. Practice, 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 practice. And so we build kind of like a safe way and a safe area for people to take risks and to explore hearing God's voice. And the ministry school is just a little tiny piece of this church family. And we, as a church family, also want to do that. And so we really have a heart for God to speak to each of you guys. I know he already does speak to a lot of you, and you guys hear his voice. But there are some who don't know what his voice sounds like. So we're going to talk a little bit today about who he is. And some of the worship songs tonight were fantastic for this message because we declared over and over and over who God is. I'll sing because you are good. I'll dance because you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. You're great, you are great, you are great, you're great. The reason is because we don't understand that. All the way through and through, a lot of times, a lot of days, there's a lot of moments where it just doesn't sink in. And so we sing it to declare it and also so that it will become part of our life. And hearing God's voice is in that same category. It's learning to understand his heart, but also learning how to open up our ears to hearing if he's speaking. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And if you want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's a book written by Paul. It's a letter, actually, written to a church. And so if you're reading Corinthians and you're like, man, this sounds really intense, that's because the church in Corinth wasn't making good decisions. So it doesn't mean that it applies to you every time you read something that's really intense. There's a good chance it doesn't. Because a lot of the topics we're not facing in the exact same way today as they were back then. But some of them really do apply. And there's some really encouraging stuff in there. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13 because that's the love chapter. Every time you go to a wedding, we should start a tally for how many times have you not heard the love chapter at a wedding? Because it's amazing. I'm joking about it, but it's incredible, and it will change your life. It's changing mine all the time. I love it. It's great. So 1 Corinthians, where's 1 Corinthians? Here it is. We're not going to read all of 12, 13, and 14, so just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. I'm going to skip around a little tiny bit, and there's a lot of topics we're not going to camp out on today. They're amazing topics, and I love them, and I'm not afraid of them, but we don't have time. So 1 Corinthians 12 begins with, now about spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then he goes on to list a couple different spiritual gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. And let's see. Yeah, let's just read it. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So this is where He brings up the topic of spiritual gifts, and one of them happens to be prophecy, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and these are all different ways or spiritual gifts and tools that God gives us so that we can have an impact on those around us. And he weaves through this topic down to verse 29, and he asks some kind of crazy questions. But he ends right at the end of 29 with, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Goes straight into the love chapter. And so love has got to be a foundation, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. But we're talking about the prophetic, we're talking about healing and miracles and different things, and then he says it goes straight into love. And so I don't know what your experience has been in the church or churches. I don't know what your experience has been with gifts and spiritual gifts. But there's occasionally times where it's not, there isn't love. And we have these experiences sometimes that can have a negative impact on us. And sometimes we'll shut down areas of our life or close off our heart to things because we've had bad experiences. And a lot of the time, it's because the people involved weren't able to live out those gifts or those things that God did give them in love. Does that make sense? So, we're not going to be that way. The Lighthouse family, the Mammoth Lighthouse, whatever church you're a part of, God is calling us, the people of God, to reflect Him. And since He is love, we're love. And that includes when we're functioning in gifts. So we're going to go on. So 13, we're going to skip over it. Love, 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 love. Love is amazing. It's the best. The greatest of these is love. Chapter 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Isn't that nice how He brought that together for me, for us? Following the way of love, as we're on the journey of learning how to love, we should be hungry to hear from God and for Him to speak to us. That's amazing. Verse 3. Well, 2 is important for verse 3. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And he goes on to contrast different gifts. But through these chapters, it's really interesting because Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, prophecy, go for it, learn how to hear God's voice, earnestly seek this. Which we trace back to Matthew 7, which Jesus also said is a good way to live. Be hungry, ask, seek, knock. Okay, so we're going to take that, we're going to take what Paul's saying in Corinthians, and we're going to do it as a family. In a couple different ways. But before we do that, a couple questions. How do we hear God? What does His voice sound like? Have you ever heard Him before? Are you in a place where you just started to walk with God and you don't know what the heck Jamie's talking about? You just sound like a crazy person. And you're Canadian, so you probably are. Or I've walked with God my whole life, but I didn't know He spoke. I don't know what His voice sounds like. Are you serious? This is possible? One of my favorite questions is, how do we know if we're hearing God, or if it's just us, or maybe there's something else, another source? We had this conversation in school recently. Is it possible for the enemy to speak to a Christian? What do you guys think? I hear a lot of head nodding, yep. Is that what I'm mostly hearing? Sensing, feeling? Okay. Isn't it interesting when Jesus goes into the wilderness, one of the first things that happens is what? Satan speaks to Jesus. What? If Jesus, if the enemy can't speak to Christians, and he's speaking to Jesus, we have a problem. Our theology needs to get reworked, rearranged. That just means what we believe about God, theology. So, I personally believe that, yes, we could, for sure, potentially, hear something that's not from God or from ourselves. Am I concerned in the slightest? No. Do you know why? Because my Father is a good Father, and He doesn't give a stone when I ask Him for bread. And I trust Him. I trust that He walks with me, and that if I'm asking Him something, He will guide me and He will lead me. And a lot of people live in fear a lot of the time on this topic, and therefore won't go there. We're not going to talk about hearing God's voice, the prophetic, whatever. Call it what you want to call it. Because what if, and there's all this stuff, this fear, and people have had hard experiences, but you know what? We're free. And so we don't have to be bound by that fear in any way. God can speak to you, and it can change your life, and it's going to be amazing. And you know what? If you hear something else along the way, ask Him what to do with it. Ask Him to show you. If you need to learn to grow in discernment, and to discern which spirit is what, that's a gift. So, it's okay if that happens. Is it possible that when we think we're hearing God, it's just us? What do you guys think about that one? Is it possible? Joey says yes. Of course it is. Of course it's possible. So, what do we do about that? What happens if I think God's speaking and it's just creative side of Jamie? Never try. Be afraid. Don't ever try to encourage someone. That's ridiculous. Isn't it? It's totally possible that if I think God puts... Let's say I'm praying and Dave, Pastor Dave, my father-in-law, mustache, Dave comes to mind and I start going, you know, God, I just pray that You'd really give him favor in this situation right now. And yeah, I just see like a fist of strength in my mind while I'm praying for you. So I call him up and I say, hey, I was just praying for you. I saw this fist of strength in my mind and was just asking that God would give you incredible favor and strength in this situation. And he goes, yeah, I don't really have a situation. I'm like, okay, I'm still praying for you. And that's positive encouraging. So who loses in that situation? You take a risk, but... He's not like, I can't believe you encouraged me. Right? So, it's possible that it's just you. And you know what? If you function in the realm of encouragement, that means you don't predict the future, you don't tell people to move to China or invest in a business, you don't say they're going to have twins when they've been barren for a decade, you don't, just stay away from those things. Pray them. God shows you them. Pray them. That's fine. But don't share them. Just keep them in your heart. And stay in the realm of encouragement. And then, if it is just you, it's going to be great. Now, the freaky part is, when you share something like that with someone you don't know, and they start to weep and thank you and wrap their arms around you, now we have a problem. Because the I thought it was just Jamie thought, all of a sudden is God's thought for that person too. And they're getting rocked and encouraged and built up, which is what Corinthians explains the goal of the prophetic to be. So, is it worth taking the risk? Yes. Is it worth doing it wisely? Please do it wisely. Cleaning up messes in the prophetic is like cleaning up any other kind of mess. It's not that fun. So we try to eliminate them by using wisdom and by having a couple boundaries. So, it is possible for us to hear God's voice. How do we know? We don't always know. But how many of you guys have a Bible in your hand or within arm's reach or it's on your phone? Just, I need to see all the hands, like literally. Okay, that is how close we are to the truth. Okay? So, if you feel like maybe God is speaking to you and you're not sure, pause for a moment and reflect on what you know the Bible says. If you think you're hearing from God and it goes against what Scripture teaches, you're not hearing from God. It's super easy. If you know Scripture. So we have a problem. We don't all know Scripture that well. So, I'm not a discipline for discipline's sake person, or let's be religious to be religious or whatever. But there's something about knowing God's Word. Because it builds. All these things build. Can you see what I'm talking about? If we know God's Word, and then we maybe think we quite, it's possible, I'm not sure, it's super faint, but it could be God's voice or a thought that could be God's thought for someone, and we know Scripture, we can test it with Scripture right away. Boom! It's in line with Scripture. Great! Okay, so now what? Well, God, what should I do? And so then we hop back into Matthew 7, and we ask God at each stage of the way, ask Him, is this for Dave? Okay, I don't know if it is. Is it in line with Scripture? Yes, it is. Okay, should I pray it for him? And then just listen, see what he says. And all of a sudden you have this thought, no, Facebook it, email it. Call him right now. He needs to hear it today. This is a faith builder. Whatever happens next, just keep asking all the way along your journey in the prophetic, in learning to hear God's voice. Because sometimes he speaks all the time. Sometimes all the time. Great English. Sometimes when we ask him questions, he'll speak right away. And other times, he'll wait and it'll be real quiet. And that's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we have this idea that if God doesn't speak to us all the time, we're doing something wrong. That's wrong. If you ask God to speak to you and you're not doing whatever, there's some kind of huge, crazy sin that you're refusing to give to God and receive forgiveness for and stuff in that category. If your heart is open to God and you're listening and He's not speaking, that is okay. Can you guys write that down if you're note-taking journal people? It is okay. Permission for God to be quiet. Because sometimes He's walking with us, but He doesn't want to talk. He just wants to be with us. Even though I want an answer now. I'm an answer person. I like questions, and I like answers even more. But sometimes He doesn't speak right away, and you have to wait. And be patient. And that's okay. So one of the main encouragements I wanted to hand to you guys today is permission to let yourself off the hook if God's not speaking to you. Okay? It's not, you haven't done something wrong. Just continue to wait. Continue to ask Him and continue to listen. Continue to wait. Continue to ask Him. Continue to listen. Just keep doing it. Posture yourself to receive everything He has for you. Because then it's His responsibility. We can't make God speak to us, but we can be ready. So, I don't think I've told this story, but I went to a ministry school myself more than 10 years ago. It was a while ago, 98 or 99. And we would get together every Monday to Friday at this church in this kind of side room, and we would talk about the prophetic and read books, and then we would pray for one another. We just practice all the time. We'd put someone in the middle of the room, and we'd close our eyes, and we'd say, all right, Lord, what do you want to say to whoever? Stevie. What do you want to say to Stevie? So I'd close my eyes and be like, okay, I know that you speak, God. I'm ready. I'm hungry. I want it. Whatever you've got, I want Stevie to be so blessed when she leaves today. So blessed that this is a milestone in her life. Just because you love her. Just because you care about where she's at. Just because you want to see everything that's in her heart come to pass. And he wouldn't say anything to me. There'd be like 10 or 15 of us praying for someone. And I'd be like, come on, I'm ready, I'm here, let's do this. What does your voice sound like? I don't even know, but it's going to be great. And we would pray, and we would pray, and every now and then, something would come to mind that I thought was maybe God speaking. But I tell you what, it was not easy slugging. It was not that, like, super smooth, wonderful, natural, like, intuitive. It was, nothing would happen. And you know what? That's okay. Because I was getting ready, and I believe God was teaching me. Looking back, it's easy. It's much easier now to look back and have all these, like, ideas about what God was doing. At the time, it felt like nothing was happening, there was no growth, and nothing powerful was changing this person's life. And that's what I was after. But I realized, looking back, he was teaching me to focus on him. Just keep focusing on me. We didn't sing it tonight, but turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Why? So the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Love that hymn. I love it. Just keep focusing on him and let him worry about the stuff around us. So, I would keep praying. Whoever we were praying for, and every now and then something would come and I would share it with them or try to figure out, wow, what does it mean? I don't know. It's a verse. Okay, should I read it? I don't know. And that's part of the journey. And you know what? It's okay to be there. It's okay to be in a place where your heart is open, your hands are open, and nothing is happening. Okay? So, permission to be in that stage. However, and also, that was negative and I just made it positive. Did you see that? And also, oh man, it's been a great weekend. Some of you hear God's voice all the time. And, like a friend of mine, there's times where it feels like he turns the dial down. He's been speaking and speaking, and now he's not. So what do you do then? Quit? Do something else? Stop spending time with God? No! Those are wrong! What you got to do is ask him what he's up to. And read the Word. Because incredible people who set the history of the world in motion, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, etc., took the craziest risks. They made mistakes too, but they took crazy risks. And some of the things that God spoke to them took decades to come true. Does that mean God's not with them? No. He was with them. Does that mean they didn't have faith? No. Hebrews tells us they were the most incredibly faithful people ever. You can read it. It's in the book of Hebrews towards the end. These people, we admire them for how they stepped out, for what they did. And yet, these prophetic words, these things take time. And we don't want to wait. There's a new iPhone every single year. Did you know there was no iPhone 20 years ago? There was nothing like that. And the people that are older than me are mocking me inside right now going, yeah, did you know we didn't have... Yes, I do. I do know that, but we can only do one example. So it's the iPhone for today. Can you live with that? Okay, it's every year. We have a new phone we need to buy every year, and I love it. I'm not down on this. I'm just saying we're not that good at being patient sometimes because the culture is advancing. We can't keep up to the whatever the things are, or we can try. So you have this sort of thing going on all around us, TV, internet, family, friends, school, all these things, work, and then it's like, God, I'm here, and I'm ready for you to speak. And you're not saying a thing. It's hard. It's hard to stay focused. It's hard to be patient in that situation, which can be a huge part of our lives. But take encouragement from the Word by going back to it and reading it, because these stories will set you free. They will actually give you permission to say to yourself, we'll start that over. You could give yourself permission to not worry about a lot of things if you know the Word even better than you do now. So, for those of you that are super advanced in hearing God's Word, and yet you run into seasons where it feels like there's a wall, of communication breakdown where you can't hear what God's saying on the other side of the wall, ask Him what He's doing. If He's not speaking to you about other things, He might not speak to you about why He's not speaking to you. That's okay. So then, if He doesn't speak to you about why He's not speaking to you, open the Word. Meditate. Soak it in. Get into these stories and let your faith be built up from what we know is true until such a time as He turns the dial back up. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem. It can often mean He's vaulting you to a new level. That's a way different perspective than, oh, I'm blowing it, I'm making a mistake, it's me, and whatever. No, sometimes you're making a mistake, and that's fine. Repent, move on. Get freedom, that's cool. But there's times where He'll withdraw some of the things that maybe, or ways He's been speaking, to see how you're going to react. To see how faithful you're going to be when He's not telling you what to do. To see how you're going to apply all the wisdom you've grown in through your whole life. So, hearing God's voice, God's heart for us. What we want to do tonight to end is truth. Truth, 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 truth. What am I talking about? John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, if you want to flip there really fast, has two of my absolute favorites in the same little section. Jesus is having a discussion with a couple different folks, Jewish folks, who have recently... to the Jews who had believed Him. Okay, so these are people who are open and are receiving what He's speaking, what He's teaching. He says, if you hold to My teaching, you really are My disciples. Okay, we know that. That's good. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We know this passage. I love this passage. I'm not a tattoo person, but I would consider, if I was a tattoo person, something like that. This is one of the ones you want to camp out on. If you're going to memorize something that's short and will change your life, this is a good option. There's other good options too. We're not recommending tattoos. I'm just saying. Verse 33, they answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs to the family forever. So if the capital S son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What? I'm huge into freedom. I couldn't even tell you in 2 hours how stoked on freedom I am. I really am. I love it. I love freedom. This section is incredible because what it's saying is know the Word. Be open to God's voice and ask Him to speak to you. And also know the Word, know the truth already, i.e. Scripture, because it will set you free. I believe that when God speaks to us, and we, the Lighthouse, believe that when God speaks to us, there is life, and it is God's Word. But so is this. This is only half because I brought a mini one today. So we're not going to do the Old Testament. So there's another piece at home, but I didn't bring it. Are you guys okay with that? But thank you. Can I use yours for a second? That's a bad illustration. This is God's Word. So if we know this, we can walk in way more freedom. I love that. I love that. I don't walk in freedom in everything. I don't. But it's so fun to look back through the years and see the things I no longer am bound by. I love that. So, knowing the Word is important. Does that mean knowing how to pronounce the names is important? No. Some of them are tricky, and we don't even know how they were originally pronounced. But do you know the heart of the story? Do you understand why those things happen? Why they bothered to write them down? So knowing the truth is the road to freedom. It's a huge step on the way to freedom. That was second one. The truth will set you free. And the second part is, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't really like confessing in front of everyone, but here's something for you guys to think about. Do you ever find, like myself, there's times where we get set free from something, there's breakthrough, God speaks, it's incredible, and then we forget and go right back to where we were? Isn't that so tragic? Oh yeah, I already did this. I already stressed out about this. I was already fearful over this situation. God spoke to me. We had breakthrough. And I allowed myself to go back there. So there's something about knowing the truth that sets us free, but also staying free and fighting for that freedom. That's important. And that takes discipline. It literally just takes discipline. And one way that's really powerful is write things down. Because if you get victory, you get freedom, you get an insight from God, or from God through a friend or the Word, if you make a note of it, maybe you'll discover that note and never have to do it again. Okay? Psalm 136 is going to be our framework for how we're going to close tonight. So let's all stand to our feet and thumb over to Psalm 136 if you have an Old Testament with you. This sneaky little Bible has Psalms and Proverbs too, so. There's something that really interesting that happens in Psalm 136. Does anybody know what it is? Just as you're starting to look at it, do you see anything about this psalm that's interesting or intriguing? Repetition. So, Psalm 136, we're just going to read a little piece of it. I'm going to say the first part, you say the other part, okay? If you don't know what I mean, don't worry, you'll get it within a minute. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Wow. Maybe we won't do it that way. Here we go. Okay. Verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Perfect. You just memorized half of Psalm 136. I kid you not. Verse 2. Give thanks to the God of gods. Okay. Why would Israel, why would someone record their history in this framework? The framework of God is good and His love endures forever. That's a weird way to write a poem or a song. It's difficult to forget that. At every point, God is good and His love endures forever. And His love is good and it endures forever. And so what we're going to do, our homework this week is going to be to write out your own Psalm 136 for the year 2013. Okay? Gratitude, something that you're grateful for. Whatever your version says, God is good, His love endures forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. There's a couple different translations in there. Psalm 136, write out your own story in between His love endures forever. God is good. Statements of absolute, rock-solid truth. And we're going to define our year and our next, the coming year, by being grateful and by being thankful for what God's done and for what He's doing. And along the way, as you're writing these things out, try to remember things God's spoken to you. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you have an idea out of nowhere, and it's incredible. Write that down. There's a really good chance God put that idea on your heart, because He loves that idea too. He loves the things that you love. Did you know that? So, as you're doing Psalm 136 homework, this week, because I'm a teacher, I can give homework, try to remember the things God maybe said or didn't, you're not sure if it's God or whatever, and put them in and see how it feels. Test it out a little bit. So, I'm going to read a little bit more of this psalm. We're not going to do the interactive version. If you guys want to close your eyes, you can. I'm just going to start reading it. And as I'm reading the story of Israel and what they're thankful for, in your own heart, feel free to just start to drift off or whatever, to think about things that you're really thankful for. And we're going to put them in the context, in the framework of His love endures forever. Does that make sense? It's kind of a strange way to pray, but I'm okay with that. So, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, Your love endures forever. So God, we want to take where we're at in our ability to hear You, in our ability to know Your voice, whether we've experienced that ever or it happens all the time, and we want to trust You just a little bit more tonight. Give us the courage, give us the strength in our heart to have just a little tiny bit more faith, that we would turn to You and ask You what's on Your heart, that we would ask You for the things that we're passionate about, and that we would start to build up a crazy track record, a crazy history of all of the things that You have spoken and then fulfilled in our lives. Spoken and then fulfilled in our lives. We've dreamed them up, we've prayed them, and then we've seen them fulfilled in our lives. And that we would be a testimony just through how we live, by focusing on You at each step of the way, by taking time to listen to Your voice, by making great decisions and using wisdom when we don't know exactly what we should do, and then by trusting You that You'll lead us and that we don't have to be in fear and that we don't have to worry. You are so good. Amen.